Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
We had the Dow. The Dow was up 1.4% for the week. S&P up 1.4. NASDAQ up 1.1. The international index up 0.4. 10-year Treasury went up a little bit as a result of what we saw yesterday, Friday. I'll talk about that in a minute because Chairman Powell wasn't talking about this. 4.02 on the 10-year. So over that 4% mark. And oil down 7.2% for the week, closing at 72.37. Bonds up a little bit, 0.4%. So what a week. A lot of information. So this past week, really from an economic perspective, I thought it was a pretty big deal, and I'll tell you why. I think it gave us a look behind the curtain at some things that are actually happening. And so in my mind, there were six things that happened this past week that I want to go over. And I think they really do show us what's coming. And so I don't want you to get a little bit overexcited here just because the market seems to say so. So in order of importance, certainly the Fed was the big deal until about Wednesday. And as you probably heard, they didn't do anything, but I'll talk about that in a minute. The second biggest deal this week was the ISM Manufacturing Index. That's the index that measures all the things that are being made around the country. And that's been on a recessionary base. It's been under 50, which means that things are shrinking. Well, we didn't see that. In fact, on Thursday, we saw that number come in at 49.1 versus the expectation of 47.4. As it gets higher, closer to 50 and above 50, that means that we're expanding. That's inflationary. You add to that the jobs number that we saw that just came out, and that was a big deal. That blew away all the expectations. They were estimating the jobs numbers for January to be at 185,000. It came in at 353,000, so almost double what was expected. That's inflationary. You have the estimates of unemployment. The rate was estimated at 3.8%. And again, rising because unemployment should be rising if things are slowing down. Came in at 3.7. Held steady. We're talking, haven't seen these sort of numbers since Nixon. You've got average hourly earnings. This is, again, another inflationary sign. Up 4.5% year over year, up 0.6%. Again, the estimate was lower than that. So we have these pressures. Now, when that came out on Friday morning, why didn't the S&P 500 pull back? In fact, it went on to set new highs. So that's where you have to stop and ask yourself a question. What's going on here? Why are things that should be happening one way are going another? Then you've got things like the Fed and the Fed talking. And so what did Chair Powell have to say and why does that matter? Because I think it does. So thank you for the question. This came to me from Larry. Larry in Fremont, he asked, was the Fed meeting hawkish? And I am going to say maybe. I said no on Wednesday, but I'm going to say maybe today. Here's why. Stocks had a pretty big decline on Wednesday as Chairman Powell was speaking and he was saying what he was saying, which I'll dissect here in a second. The market went down. It was the biggest down day we've seen so far this year. And the bottom line was the Fed said, look, we're not going to cut rates in March. And that's one of the reasons it dropped, but I'm not going to say it's the only reason because other things matter. Like what? Remember we've been talking about earnings from companies and actually how much money they're making, and that really does matter. So who announced this past week? We had Microsoft, Google, Apple. There were some disappointing earnings, some disappointing things happening, and those stocks got pounded that day a little bit, and then throughout the week started to come back. The other big deal we had this week was the banking crisis. Remember a year ago what was going on with the banks? Well, we had a regional bank problem with NYCB. Then you had the Fed who was sort of down the middle. All right, let's talk about it. So on the banking side, what do we have to be looking out for there? New York Community Bank. They absorbed, you may remember, Signature Bank in the East Coast last March. And this past week, when they announced their earnings, the stock went down almost 50% at the lows for the day. Why? Well, because the earnings were disastrous. And they also said, we're going to cut your dividend on the stock from 17 cents a share to 5 cents a share. So do we need to worry about the regional bank stress again? Maybe. Here's why. Here's the interesting part of this description from the bank. Remember, the nexus of regional bank stress last year came from mismanagement of interest rate exposure. Remember Silicon Valley Bank? They had a massive amount of what's called mark-to-market losses on their balance sheet, same with Signature Bank, because the banks, they invested heavily in these longer-dated treasuries over the past several years. So when the Fed started hiking rates last year, the, I'll call it notional value, it means what they trade for on a daily basis. If you look at your statement, you go online, you look at the value of something each day, you see it moves around a little bit. That's notional value. It's market value. And as the Fed was raising rates, those values started to do what? They went down in a big way, particularly on the longer dated bonds. So what that did to the bank's capitalization is it made that go down because the bonds weren't worth as much. And so you have to have a certain amount of reserve when people want to demand their cash. It's just the way it works. I know I'm kind of oversimplifying this, but that's essentially what happened. That's not why NYCB plunged this past week. The bank declined this past week for several reasons. First, they acquired Signature Bank. And that was a much bigger bank than they were. And that made them have higher capital ratios. And that was one of the big reasons here. The second reason was their loan loss. When they absorbed this other bank, they went from $45 million of loss to $552 million. Next, they logged a $185 million net charge-off in the fourth quarter. That was 10 times more than they've done in the last 10 years in one quarter. What was the bulk of that write-off? Well, if you dig a little deeper, scratch the surface, you'll see it came from two large loans. When we talk about large loans, what do you think about? What costs a lot of money to buy, and if values start to drop, then what? Think about buildings in San Francisco. Remember some of those buildings on California Street that a couple years ago were worth $300, $400 million? They traded for that. You can see that. What are they trading for today? 10 cents on the dollar. So who's paying that difference? Where is that going? Well, you're seeing it right now. The write-offs. Banks. So it seems to be a case of the bank expanding rapidly, yes. Not adequately communicating or understanding possibly the financial implications of what they bought, what it means. And so there you go. So is this systemic? Is this something we got to watch for other banks? It's possible, particularly if they have a lot of commercial loans out there in areas that are being devastated by what's going on. So all I'm saying today is you better be paying attention to what you own because there could be some problems. Now let's switch to Powell real quick in the FOMC. I know you heard the headline. Didn't change rates. Okay, so what? Well, he did say, and this is what I liked about this particular meeting, because I'm usually sitting there eating my lunch, listening to him talk, and sometimes he's so boring and unclear and doesn't say things that make any sense. But I thought this was one of the best ones I've ever seen. He actually took questions and was answering them in a way that I understood. And what I took away from what he was saying was that they were not going to raise rates anymore. That's good news. I also took away from it that the growth and inflation, quote, this is what he said, coming into better balance. So balance, right? Now, as I started this segment, I talked about things on the inflationary side. And I haven't really talked much about the things on the non-inflationary side. So you see where I'm going with this? I'm looking for the balance, Mr. Powell. Where is it? Anyway, what he did say quite clearly, and this is why, another reason why the market went down on Wednesday, was that they're not going to cut rates in March. He pushed back on that squarely. So the market now is thinking, well, it's going to happen in May. Remember I said last week, the market's expecting a certain amount of cuts, and if it doesn't get it, then what? And I said that if the momentum continues on, which remember, we just closed Friday at 49.59. You know what the resistance level is on the top? If you listened last week, you know I said 49.69. It's 10 points away. Let me explain that. If we get through 49.69 and we close above that and there's some good volume, 5,000's next. Why? Because the train's on the tracks, it's moving with energy, and that's the direction. You understand? Doesn't make sense because you had bad news. Market still went up. So we're in one of those right now.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.